good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've all had a very good week this past week. I was asking, I guess it was HL, if they were ready for that next rain, and he said they're still ready for the first one. So I know it's been a dry year, but we've been very blessed in a number of other areas, and we're grateful for that. I've got a call the other day from a little congregation in Denver. They were wanting me to come up and do a gospel meeting, and I asked them what they were wanting me to speak on, and as we got to talking about it, we decided we would talk about fear. And so I'm going to be talking about fear for the next few weeks, so y'all will be the guinea pig. I'm sorry for that, but hopefully what we'll talk about will be something that'll be of a benefit. And if it's not, be sure and tell me so I'll know to speak on something else when I go there. As we talk about fear, one of the things that I do want to say is there's a number of things that are going on right now, and I'm not really going to be commenting on the cause of them or the reasons or whose fault it is. I'm not really sure that that's going to be helpful for our topic as we go through it. But I was thinking about that when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and we lived in Seattle, Washington. And one day my mom and dad were in the house. I think it had to have been a Saturday. Could have been a Sunday, but anyway, for Dad to be home, it was one of those two. And they heard a blood-curdling scream outside from a distance off. And as they sat there and listened to it, or stood there and listened to it, they heard that blood-curdling scream getting louder and closer, and they realized that it was their second son. And so they ran to the front door, and by that time I had made it to the front door, and I had bees after me and bees on me. And so they recognized that, and they got the bees off of me. They took my shirt off and were pounding on me, and they got rid of the bees. And then they found out what had happened. See, the reason that this is so important to our topic is I believe that when you are being chased and covered with bees, that it's best to take care of the bees first. Afterward, there's plenty of time to sort out whose fault it might be. Well, what had happened was we lived right on the edge of a forest, and we had all sorts of ferns growing up, and those ferns made really good spears if you would tear all the leaves and fronds. I don't know if fronds are the right word or not, but that's what we called them. If you tore all that off, they made great spears. And so we would kind of divide up in the neighborhood, and we would take sides, and we'd have a spear fight. And this particular spear fight kind of devolved into a rock and stick and spear fight. And as it went on, I got near apparently a beehive in a rotted log on the ground, and I maintained that one of my friends threw a huge stick or a rock, which I deftly dodged, and it hit that. I think their claim was that I somehow stumbled across. Either way, the bees swarmed, and they went after me. And again, I want to say that there will be a time for sorting things out after you've taken care of the problems. But I just want to talk about some things that are going on right now that I think most of us would recognize not only are problems, but they're causing a lot of fear in people right now. And it's this fear that I want to address. And I want to start off with this theme or this thesis. When we fear God, we don't have to fear anything else. But if you don't fear God, if you don't have a proper fear for God, you are going to live in fear of just about everything and everybody that runs into your life at some point or another. And you get to choose. And so as we talk about this, I'm going to divide this category of fear into several different categories. We're going to look at a couple today. We're going to look at the problem of fear, and we're also going to look at some of the penalties for fear. And then next week we'll get into the solution next Sunday morning. And so I just kind of want to warn you that this may not be really cheery at first this morning, but we'll get to the cheery part because the cheery part is the solution for fear and the blessings. But I'm going to give you the solution right now. The fear of God will solve just about all of your problems. It doesn't mean you won't have to deal with them, but they will make your problems solvable and something that you can deal with. But you look at what's going on. Early in the year, we had this flu that came up, and I've heard people say, it's not a flu, it's something else. Whatever it is, we had this come up. And it has scared people in a lot of different ways. I do not want to imply for a moment that fear and caution are the same. And so some of the ways that you will handle things from a standpoint of caution are not necessarily fear. They may be. That's something between you and God. But I don't want to insinuate that because you handle something differently than somebody else, that somehow you are being fearful or somehow you're being sinful, or that somehow you're being less cautious and less loving than they are. I just want to kind of look at the problem. And one of the problems that we have that has come up from this pandemic is the fact that a lot of people have a greater fear of dying than they have a desire to live life to the fullest. And it's created a lot of problems, and it's especially created a lot of problems among Christians who have just kind of stepped back from serving God for a while. Now, again, if you've been exercising caution, that doesn't mean you've been stepping back. I'm not making any insinuations towards anybody. I'm just saying some of the things that we have seen that have come as a result of that. We also have had a very strong problem lately with rioting on different points, and whether the riot have come about as something that was justified or not. Again, I'll leave that to you to figure out who threw the rock at the bees. But it exists, does it not? And it's something that we have to deal with. In addition to that, we've got different types of shortages that occurred. When all this first started happening, there was a supply chain shortage. They had plenty of supplies. They just couldn't get them from the warehouse to the stores, and so everybody went out and panicked and stocked up on toilet paper. I'm sure you've got lots of it right now, and maybe even something to eat as well. Hopefully you do, because they are now starting to warn people like ConAgra and other big food conglomerates that there's going to be a different type of a shortage that they see coming up because they're not able to get the supplies, and their concerns are much more from a standpoint of drought in certain areas, of floods in certain areas, and of locust plagues, literally plagues all over the world in different areas, as well as the fact that a lot of people have been staying home instead of producing. And so the concern that they have, and they're starting to voice right now, and again, it's not the same people that were telling you the sky was falling last time. This is more the people who are in the supply chain. They are saying that there's not a supply to bring through the chain. And so you might want to be thinking about that. Again, we have all these things that are coming in at us. You add on top of that in Happy Texas, so far this year, we are essentially in the third worst recorded drought since 1880. If you go back and you look at the figures that they have that they've kept through that time. And so you have all these things. How will you deal with them? In addition to that, some of you have had other things that have come up in your lives, real issues, personal problems that are far more to you severe than anything that we have mentioned. And they are things that you really have to deal with. How will you deal with them? Will you deal with them through fear in such a way that it paralyzes you from being able to do what you need to do? Or will you just look at them and, to the best of your ability, because you fear God, will you try and figure out what God wants you to do? The passage that I want to start off with is found in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, and you probably know this one. It simply says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." I would imagine this applies to most of the population. I imagine it applies to very few, if any, here, but I imagine this applies to most of the population. Most people, when it comes to the Word of God, are not that interested in finding out what it says. Even though the fear of the Lord begins with knowledge, they don't have a fear of the Lord, and so they are not trying to pursue knowledge, and therefore they have no wisdom. And they don't have much discipline in their lives. And one of the problems that we're seeing that's resulting from all these different things and more right now is the fact that there are many people who despise discipline. They will not accept discipline in their lives. And because of that, they're not only making themselves miserable, they're making other people miserable. I can remember getting back to the idea of the pandemic. When it first came out, there was a congressman. He happened to be from Texas, and he was watching all the things that were going on. And he was an older gentleman. He wasn't being rude. He just made a comment. He said, you know, there's more to life than just longevity. And he got his ears beat off. He hated old people, apparently, for saying such a comment, even though he was an old people. And there just must have been something that was wrong with him. But understand this. From God's perspective, 100 years from now, our physical lives are going to be over. We might have a baby or two that does really good. Maybe they'll get to enjoy an even fuller life than we might have imagined for them. But 100 years from now, 120 years from now, let's go to that. We're all physically dead. But spiritually, you're still alive. If your main focus now is not on God, when will it be placed on God? And if your main focus right now is not on God, you just got it to go through. There's no question about it. I'm sorry that you have it to go through, but you got it to go through. You will have to deal with all the fear that comes from despising wisdom and discipline, and these penalties are quite heavy. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20-25, there's another thing that is really important, and that is understanding that we cannot have an improper fear of man. There is a type of fear of man that's okay, that involves respect and love, a fear that a child should have for their parents. That's all right. But that's not what this is talking about in Proverbs 19. In Proverbs 19, verse 25, it says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." If you are afraid of what a man can do to you, for trying to do your best to be righteous, it's going to be a trap for you. You'll fall right into Satan's trap, because Satan does not want you serving God. And if you permit something to keep you from serving God to the best of your ability for the circumstances that you have, then you're in a trap. I can't remember who it was that said it, but this is probably about as true as anything I've ever heard, and I can see it from my own perspective. It is much more difficult to convince somebody that they have been fooled than it is to fool somebody. And so by that, nobody wants to admit that somebody was able to con them into something. That's one of the things that people who commit fraud have going for them, is this reluctance to admit, yeah, I fell for that one. But it is really hard to convince somebody that they did fall for something, because they've thought it through. Well, that's the way a lot of our life is, and we fall into different snares and traps, and usually they're of our own making because of our own pride. One of the people that I really admire in life is Helen Keller. Helen Keller, most of you know that she got, I can't remember what the disease was, but when she was a baby, she got a disease, and it left her blind and deaf. Her parents were fairly well-to-do, and they were pretty concerned about protecting her. You can't let a blind, deaf baby wander on their own. There's too many problems. Well, they finally hired a lady by the name of Ann Sullivan, who also happened to be blind. And one of the things that Ann Sullivan did was she got Helen Keller out of the house and out into the different things. And even though Helen Keller was blind and deaf, and even though she fell over things and she bumped into things and she hurt herself, she learned to survive in a world that she was going to be living in. This is what, and the reason I tell you all that is because of what she concluded later on in life. She said, "Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold." This idea of avoiding danger being no safer than outright exposure, she's not talking about just walking to the edge of a cliff and falling off. She's talking about this idea that somehow we can insulate ourselves from every possibility. You just have to make the best plans that you can and live the best life that you can, and then trust God to take care of the rest. But if you live in fear of being exposed to any kind of a difficulty in life, you will be frozen into immobility and into inaction and won't be able to do anything. And so the first problem that I really believe that we have as a result of fear is that the fear of men can prevent us from even trying. I'm afraid of what they might do to me or what might happen to me. The other thing that is a problem with fear, another thing is the suffering that's produced by wicked people. There are clearly wicked people in this world. You look at people like Adolf Hitler, who had plans of his own, and part of those plans were to get rid of anybody that he despised. Apparently, he had been kicked around growing up. He didn't like that. He was going to take care of some people. And there were several sets of people he was particularly intent on taking care of, the most notable of which was the Jews. How were they able to convince, though, to get the rest of the German people to go along with this idea of getting rid of the Jews? And it was pretty simple. There was a man by the name of Erich Hoffer who said, "It's when power is wedded to fear that it becomes formidable." If you have something despicable that you want to do, but you have power, if you can engender in other people a fear that makes them think they're going to be in danger if they don't do what you want them to do, then it does become formidable. And you can see all sorts of atrocities that have occurred throughout history because of this. Peter addressed this very thing. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, he asked this: "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." The general principle is this: if you're eager to do good, most people won't harm you. There will be a certain class of wicked people who will. And even if you should suffer for the right, God will still take care of you. You'll still receive His favor. You'll still have a happiness, that blessing within you, because you're receiving God's favor, because you're doing what's right. It's an important principle in life. That allows us to get involved with life. Babe Ruth was no philosopher. As a matter of fact, Babe Ruth didn't have much education. He was a city boy, but he had a country boy's charm. And one of the things he said was, if you're afraid of striking out, you'll never play the game. And he wasn't talking about baseball, but he was doing it from his perspective of baseball. When Babe Ruth died, I believe he held two prominent records. He held dozens and dozens, but two of them were really prominent. One was he struck out more than any other player in baseball at the time. And the second was he had hit more home runs than any other player in baseball at the time. People remember him as a home run hitter to this day. That's what they... Why? Because he wasn't afraid of striking out. If in your life you are afraid of living the life that God has called you to, being righteous because it's the right thing to do, worshiping on the first day of the week because God has called you to do that, being kind to other people even when they're not unkind to you, and other people don't understand because we live in a tough society that says, if you slap me on the face, I'll knock you down. If you will live the righteous life that God calls you to live, even though you strike out a few times, you're going to do pretty well in God's eyes, the only eyes that really matter. But other people are also going to notice. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Literally means that most people are going to be pleased with the way that you're living. God will reward you for that. There's still wicked people, we know that. But most people are not. This next part, as far as a problem of fear, may be the most severe, and it is something that leads to fear. It's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And the Apostle John says this: "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Now, that may be a little bit hard to accept at first, because there are certain things we look at and they kind of scare us. But what he's saying, and especially when you take the two greatest commandments as defined by Jesus, the authority, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, when you have that type of a love and when you live that type of a life, there's not a lot of reason to be fearful. I loved watching my mom through the years because mom dealt with a lot of different things, including several bouts of several different types of cancer. And yet she never really seemed fearful about it. She always seemed to have the attitude of, I was planning on going to heaven anyway. She didn't want to go a second early, mind you. But she also knew that this body that she had been given, that she struggled with, wasn't the reason she was here. And because of that, that allowed her not to have to fear everything. She loved God. She trusted in His Word. And she also loved people. If, for those of you who are around her, you know that. She was probably a little bit quieter than most people you may have known when it comes to mom. But she really did enjoy people and she liked people. And those two things really, really helped her. Perfect love drives out fear. If your life is filled with fear, there's a strong possibility that there is a more serious problem involved, and it may be something that you want to look at and that I want to look at. The next thing that I want to point out is not following Christ because of fear is, I believe, one of the things that has been around since Jesus came to this earth. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, he says this, or we're told this, at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they'd be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. One of the things that having a love for the esteem in the eyes of men will cause is you will eventually begin to get a fear of losing that esteem. And so there will be sometimes they will have you do things that compromise your faith that you will do because you're afraid of falling out of their esteem, of losing their respect, of them thinking that somehow that you're stupid. When it comes to serving God, it is all or nothing. There cannot be this attitude of I'll serve God as long as I can maintain the respect of other people, but the moment that I start falling out of respect in their eyes, then I'm going to have to go along with what they say. That fear creates more difficulty than anything else. Well, I see that we're already at 22 minutes, and I have lots and lots more to go through, so we're going to pick up there. But I do want to leave you with a thought as far as the solution goes, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. We're going to look at Proverbs 1, 24 to 32 next week, and it talks about all the problems that fear will cause, from disaster to calamity to distress to trouble to death and destruction. But at the end of that passage in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, it says, "But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." If you want the cure for all the fears that seem to be plaguing mankind right now, fear God and listen to Him. And then you can be at ease without fear of harm. I don't mean be at ease from where you're going to be rich and comfortable all the time. I think we're about to go through some really uncomfy times. But from a spiritual standpoint, you'll be at ease. The question is, will you fear God and then walk boldly through life? Or will you fear everything else? I'm going to tell you right now, most of the world will fear everything else. But when you and I fear God, that's when the life that's worth living really starts. Which will you choose? The invitation's open. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian today. We would love to help you with that, if that's the case. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. But if you do have any needs, won't you come forward and let those needs be known while we stand and sing?